This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, September 10th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. A state panel is calling for the reform of Illinois' system of providing services for people with developmental disabilities. Last night, a public meeting in Champaign to promote the proposal drew more than 60 people. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The Illinois Council on Developmental Disabilities wants the state to move away from large centralized care facilities to services that allow people with physical or mental disabilities to live as they choose in their communities. Council Chairman Lester Pritchard of Urbana says Illinois' large group home facilities are obsolete. Pritchard, who has cerebral palsy, spoke through his wife Barbara to say that Michigan and Wisconsin have already moved to the community-based approach.
They have a whole different way of supporting people. Michigan in particular focuses on the individual, and they allow the individual to pick the services they need. Not programs per se, but services. And they found that people only pick what they need and what they want, and therefore it's more cost effective.
The Council's report calls for shifting Illinois' approach to caring for the developmentally disabled to something more like Michigan's over a seven-year period. Council Executive Director Sheila Romano says members of the Blagojevich administration are showing interest in the plan, despite the governor's recent move to cut state human services funding as part of his amendatory budget veto. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The Illinois House is returning to Springfield today to consider a plan to privatize the state lottery and bring in billions of dollars for a statewide construction program. House Speaker Mike Madigan has been opposed to Governor Rod Blagojevich's lottery plan, but outlined a revised plan last week as a way to pay for long-sought road, bridge, and school improvements. The 34-year-old state-run lottery could bring in as much as $10 billion if it's leased over several decades, but lawmakers are wary of taking money away from public schools, which get $600 million or more a year from lottery profits. The House version also would limit the governor's power over a lease. The Senate approved a lease proposal last spring. Meanwhile, Illinois Comptroller Dan Hines says a lease of the lottery can work as long as education heads its list of funding priorities. He spoke in Champaign yesterday and says he's optimistic about this week's special session with House lawmakers, but Hines also says he'd like to see the lottery lease proposal and says legislators must decide if it's a responsible way to fund a long-term capital program. The comptroller says the competitive bid process for conducting that lease must be done in a transparent manner, and he says nothing will be accomplished without unified support.
The devil's in the details. We have to see what is being proposed and what the other caucuses, what the other leaders think about it. But secondly, we have to make sure that we maintain this attitude and approach of cooperation. Because it doesn't matter what the plan says. If people aren't getting along, if they're letting personalities and power struggles get in the way, then it doesn't matter what's proposed.
House lawmakers this week may also consider bills to restore some of the $1.4 billion in fiscal budget cuts made by Governor Rod Blagojevich. Hines says the governor failed to show leadership from the beginning and identify funding priorities. He says instead Blagojevich did nothing for months and made cuts once the legislature passed him a budget. Hines says there's still a chance that some areas that saw cuts, like substance abuse facilities and state parks, could see some funding restored through other general revenue sources. Urbana's Provena Covenant Medical Center is taking the issue of its tax-exempt status to the Illinois Supreme Court. AM 580's Tom Rogers has more.
Last month, the state appeals court reversed a lower court decision and again revoked Provena's tax exemption as a charitable organization. The hospital had lost that status in Champaign County in 2003 because the county claimed it didn't provide enough charity care. The director of the State Department of Revenue upheld that decision, but a Sangamon County court had overturned it. Patrick Coffey is an attorney for Provena. He claims the appellate court's decision against tax-exempt status ignored the facts of the case.
Obviously, we disagree. We're disappointed with how they come out on it. We don't think that they have given the necessary deference, frankly, to the record evidence in the case that cannot be the decision of the director.
Provena Covenants Board Chairman Cody Sokolsky says the $6 million Provena's paid in property taxes since the 2003 decision hurt its ability to provide care to those who can't afford it. But he says the hospital will not turn away people in need. Provena has to file its appeal by the end of the month. Then it'll be up to the state Supreme Court to decide whether to hear the case. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Now that she's free on parole, Amanda Hamm will have to undergo mental health counseling and meet with drug and alcohol counselors who will decide if she needs treatment. Hamm was released from the Dwight Correctional Center yesterday and has gone to a halfway house in Chicago. She was convicted of child endangerment in 2006 and the drowning death of her three children in Clinton Lake. Her boyfriend, Maurice Legrone Jr., is serving a life sentence after being convicted of first-degree murder in the incident. They had claimed the drownings were an accident, but prosecutors argued that they killed the children because they were interfering with their relationship. Hamm served almost 5 years of a 10-year sentence. An erroneously identified contractor mentioned in a request to the Department of Corrections for information has left a panel of state lawmakers without facts they may need to decide the fate of the Pontiac Correctional Center. Peoria-based engineering firm PSA Dewberry was hired to study what upgrades must be done to the state's prison facilities. The study could hold information detailing whether Governor Rod Blagojevich's decision to close the prison in Pontiac makes financial sense. The Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability, using its powers as an oversight panel when the governor wants to close state facilities, asked for the study, but identified PSA Dewberry as Peabody Engineering of Peoria. In its response, the Department of Corrections said it didn't have the information. When the commission's miscue was pointed out last week, corrections spokesman Derek Schnapp said the agency would be happy to answer the panel's questions. All six Urbana elementary schools and Urbana High School succeeded in making adequate yearly progress this year, but Urbana Middle Schools failed to meet the federal guidelines. Don Owen, an administrator with Urbana's school district, says he's especially proud of the good results of students from lower-income groups, but he says there's still a lot of work to do, especially at Urbana Middle School. Owen says one of the main problems is the lack of progress made by special education students.
In a sense, we're also comparing apples to oranges because the students that took the ISAT test this year are a different group of students than took the ISAT last year at the middle school. And so we have to look at, over the long term, where we need to work on an instruction, curriculum, and practice issues to improve the learning of all students.
Owen says Hispanic students at the middle school did very well. He says they met the benchmark for both reading and math, but he says African-American students did not make adequate yearly progress in math this year. Dorlin Norris with Champaign School District says one elementary school in Unit 4 missed the benchmark for AYP. She says the English as second language learners at Washington Elementary didn't get scores needed in the ISAT. Norris says Jefferson and Franklin Middle Schools missed AYP because students with disabilities didn't succeed in the test. She says neither Central nor Centennial High Schools met the required AYP standards. Norris says low-income and African-American students failed at Central, while Centennial failed to reach AYP overall. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Multiple Illinois state parks and historic sites will be closed this fall unless the government can turn things around. Commentator Amy Guida is one who's worried that unless things change, we'll have lost much more than the sites themselves. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
Every October, my family frolics. That means that we head down to Charleston, Illinois to enjoy fresh kettle corn, homemade root beer, and some pretty amazing performers, like Sword Swallowers. When my two kids were small, I worried that one of them would make like the performers and attempt to plunge a plastic sword down his gullet. Which reminds me, they had fire eaters, too. It's an event known as the Harvest Frolic and Agricultural Fair, held on the Lincoln Log Cabin State Historic Site. The frolic is more like an old-fashioned carnival, with everyone coming together to enjoy the place's living history. Tradespersons, performers, role-playing residents, and us, with hundreds of others. As the website for the park explains, the Lincoln Log Cabin State Historic Site was the 1840s home of Thomas and Sarah Bush Lincoln, father and stepmother of our 16th president, and Abraham Lincoln visited there when he was a lawyer living in Springfield. Somehow, and I don't really understand it, the frolic and the Lincoln Log Cabin site itself made this homesick big city type begin to appreciate small town charms. But as I write this, there's a message in a warning red font written on the park's website. 2008 Harvest Frolic canceled. That would have knocked the wind out of me had I read it without warning. That's how much our family looks forward to our visits. But I'd already heard even worse news, that the Lincoln Log Cabin State Historic Site is one of the places in Illinois that the governor has ordered shuttered, closed on October 1st until further notice. No park, no frolic, no more visits. All they say in an attempt to balance the budget. Other state historic sites are going away, too. Additional places that have great significance to people like me, and even to people who've never visited Illinois but wish they could. The Dana Thomas House in Springfield, a breathtaking showpiece of Frank Lloyd Wright architecture and design, and another heart-bounding destination for our family. The Bryant Cottage State Historic Site in Bement, the David Davis Mansion in Bloomington. I could go on. In all, 13 state historic sites will be closed in less than a month if things aren't changed. And as the Chicago Sun-Times put it, Central Illinois is bearing the brunt of these closures. For those like me, this is all a deeply personal affront. These were the places that helped keep me here when I felt lost. Little reminders of what one can find in bigger cities, made more wonderful because they're right here in our own backyard, staffed by people, many volunteers, with a real passion for Lincoln, for Frank Lloyd Wright, for the period, for history itself. It's not just simple destinations. The Illinois cultural legacy itself is being shuttered. And that's a tragedy, period. Not just because we're told to be looking for Lincoln as we anticipate a big Lincoln birthday. I can't imagine that this rich history won't be shared with the next generation. In recent years, Illinois put out a press release boasting about the Harvest Frolic and Agricultural Fair set for early October near Charleston. This year, there's nothing, of course. And that's because they've taken much more than a plastic sword to the event. They've killed it permanently. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Sunny skies in our forecast today. The high 77 degrees, mostly clear tonight, the low 53. Increasing clouds tomorrow, the high 81. Cloudy skies tomorrow evening, showers and thunderstorms arriving, the low 62. Cloudy skies on Friday with periods of rain and thunderstorms with a high of 78 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, September 10th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.